Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
You know, there's been several different things said about what's going to happen in 2012 and some of the ancient indigenous prophecies coming forward. And what does it mean? And some believe that it could lead to some very big changes. And is it the end of the world? Is it something to be frightened about? There's a fellow that's been talking about this for, I don't know, quite a while, I guess. He's written books about it. His name is Jack Allis. Originally, he lived in Wisconsin, and then not too long ago, he packed up, and he felt the need to move to another location. He now is near Mount Shasta. So how long ago was it that you made the move?
11 months.
Wow.
I'm almost at my one-year anniversary, and it's been a monumental year as far as you know, everything that's been going on here. Things are...
Now, why did you make the move?
Well, I was drawn here, basically. I began to be drawn here. This grandmother mountain here, Mount Shasta, for those of you in your audience who aren't familiar with Mount Shasta, because a lot of people aren't.
No, I'm not.
It's a great big 14,000-plus-foot dormant volcano here in north-central California, almost in Oregon. Snow-capped all year. Right now is about the lightest the snow cover gets up there, but there's still plenty of snow up there. Mount Shasta gets anywhere from 20 to 40 feet of snow in the winter. And I'm talking about the mountain itself, you know, up high. And I started feeling the draw to be here about 5 or 6 years ago, but just nothing clicked, nothing happened, and you know, so I continued to to look into it and those sorts of things. Traveled here every summer because I made the connection with a Mayan elder who's living about who has a some land and who's, with whom and we're working on a sustainable living project up about an hour north of here. His name is Eric Gonzalez. I connected with him about 3 years ago and decided that I'd like him to be my teacher for a while. And so that was yet another reason to be drawn here. Traveled here last summer to participate in a ceremonial event up at Deer Mountain, which is where Tata Eric is. And at that time, everything just clicked. Everything came together. I talked to somebody who, I said, hey, I'd really like to live here. And I said, well, I've got a friend who has a cabin, for rent, right on the edge of the forest, on the edge of town. And I went, oh, boy, sounds good to me. So I talked to the person. We clicked immediately. We made the transaction that day, and we hugged, and it was perfect. The deed was done, and now I'm here. Mount Shasta is a incredible energy point as far as it's considered one of the seven, most sacred mountains in the world, and I can certainly feel that. It's an incredible vortex of energy, and a lot of people have a hard time even being here. It's similar to Sedona. A lot of people say, oh, I go to Sedona, and the energy coming off those red cliffs just makes me a little, my circuits get crossed, it's just too intense, and a lot of people are that way with Mount Shasta. Mm. But not for me. The energy here, the vibration here is just, it's something, it just lifts me up.
Now, initially, as I recall, Jack, one of the reasons you were going out there is because you had felt, when we talked, that our Earth obviously is evolving, and there is going to be this shift, as obviously it's going on, and to what extent, maybe none of us really know, but there's going to come a time when we're going to need to go to the new Earth, or we can choose to stay behind in the old one, and who knows what that's going to be like. So you felt that Mount Shasta would be a good place to be, to step into the next place?
Yes, it was perfect in that regard. There were a couple of things I was looking for, and keep in mind here that one of the goals here is to be able to live sustainably, and to be able to live sustainably in this incredible age of transformation that we're in the midst of. And I was looking for a couple of things. I was looking for a place that had plenty of clean, fresh water, which this area certainly does. This area is just replete with spring water that comes directly from that 40 feet of snow I just talked about from the mountain. Mount Shasta is it's a volcanic mountain, so therefore it's the soil is very porous, and all of that 40 feet of snow doesn't really necessarily run down the mountain. It goes into the mountain, and it's kind of like a fountain. It comes bubbling out, you know, all over the place in the form of springs. And I actually have spring water from Mount Shasta coming out of my tap here in my little cabin.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was looking for a source of fresh water, and there's also a spring up at Deer Mountain where Tata Eric is and where we're, you know, endeavoring to build a sustainable community. So I was looking for water. I was looking to be very remote, wanted to be as far away from big cities as possible, which I also think is an important aspect of this in terms of when the transformations come, in my opinion and in the opinion of the prophecies that I'm following, the big cities are going to be places of incredible chaos, you know, during these transformative times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking to be as remote as possible. And if you look at Mount Shasta on a map, this area is very, very remote. There's just nothing out here. To the west, there's you know, nothing but mountains until you hit the ocean, and to the east, there's nothing but desert. And north of here, the closest city is Portland, which is about 6 hours away, and south of here is the closest big city is San Francisco, which is about 6 hours away.
We are
in the middle of nowhere out here.
Do you still feel, Jack, that the prophecies of 2012, do you still feel that those are online, that we are going to... there's going to be like a new world that we'll be able to step into?
I believe the prophecies are absolutely online, and it may not happen the way a lot of people, the way a lot of white people or the way a lot of the New Age people have, you know, were predicting it was going to happen. But I'm working with a Mayan elder, and as far as the original teachings of the ancient Maya are concerned, and I was just at a ceremonial event about a week ago that ended up at Deer Mountain, and there were about three elders there from Guatemala, and about seven from other cultures, you know, both in North America and other places. And virtually all of the ancient indigenous wisdom is telling us right now that we're right on track. You know, the shift is not some big bang event that's going to happen on a certain date, as in December 21st, 2012, you know, something huge is going to happen and you know, everything's going to change. No, that's not the way that they see it. That's not the way the prophecies see it. This is more of a process. It's a process that's underway. It's clearly happening. It's clearly happening on the basis of, you know, the paradigm shifts that are occurring in the mainstream world. It's clearly happening on the basis of the earth changes that we see happening around us, and it's clearly happening on the basis of a lot of people who are, you know, connecting with these with these higher frequency energies and who are, you know, experiencing tremendous transformation themselves. So we are in the midst of this whole thing, and we're entering an incredible 6 months here too in terms of culminating in December 21st, 2012, or Oshlahubaktun in the Mayan, in terms of, an incredibly important time or doorway, you know, where we're moving from one world to another. But it's already happening. It's already started. The process is well underway. Mm. And so everything is right on schedule. And my Mayan elder associate, Tata Eric, he and all the other Mayan elders, they don't spend a lot of time talking about any of this. You know, they just simply, the only thing they're focused on is helping people to, you know, to develop their spirituality, to connect with their spirituality, using ceremony for that purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, living in the moment today and recognizing that we are in this age of transformation, and it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to, you know, to get to work on our spirituality today. You know, they spend no time talking about, you know, what's going to happen in 6 months, what's going to happen mm-hmm. in a year or whatever. There are no time frames here. The only time frame we know about is we know that we don't have much time, and that's pretty obvious on the basis of you know, Mother Earth and our old paradigm world kind of reaching its inevitable end. It just can't. Our old paradigm world just can't continue, you know, the way it is. It's just too out of balance. We know we're close. We know we don't have much time, and that's really all that we have to work with. And, you know, whether, you know, something huge happens tomorrow, or, you know, whether things, you know, continue going for a couple more years,
what do you think,
or whatever, you know, none of that matters.
You know? What do you think is going to happen, Jack, in your own feeling on this?
Not to dodge your question, but I have to be perfectly honest with you, TJ, I have no idea as far as
okay.
the particulars of it. I just know that it's something. I know that it is a transformation, you know, from one world to another world. I know that the potential for that transformation is there. And it's up to us as human beings to participate in that and to resonate with these energies. And the way I'm approaching it is whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the old world is going to come to its inevitable end and creating an opportunity for the creation of the new world. But exactly what the new world is going to be like, I really don't know. It's important to look at it in two ways. We're dealing both with the new world in terms of, you know, what we create here in this world, you know, in this material, a third-dimensional world, you know, here on Mother Earth. You know, it's important for we as humanity to, you know, to get our act together and to start living correctly, start living sustainably and living in harmony in nature. And that's something that's very mundane, and it happens here, and it involves things like, you know, growing our own food and having our own fresh sources of water and those sorts of things. And there's also a very otherworldly aspect of this in terms of there's, you know, a spiritual opportunity here to to ascend, you know, from this material third-dimensional world, you know, to a higher dimension, you know, which will be very different, and it will be beyond matter and those sorts of things. But, you know, we need to take one step at a time here, and we begin by getting our act together here in this plane. And once we do that, you know, we can perhaps access an opportunity, you know, to move to another plane. But so that's about the best I can answer that.
Let me ask you this.
I think it's a disservice to spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what the new world is going to look like.
Right, right.
Nobody really knows.
Well, I know the last time we talked, you talked about that there, I believe you and I were talking, maybe it was somebody else. You talked about there would be locations on the planet that people might need to be close to in order to step into this new world, like portals. Was that something we talked about before?
Perhaps.
Now, what if you live in Upper Michigan and you don't, do you have any, I mean, if you want to become part of this change, can you do it from anywhere, or do you need to go to a specific location?
Well, no, I think, I don't. As far as specific locations are concerned, like, you know, everybody needs to be in Mount Shasta, or everybody needs to be someplace else, I don't think that's as important as the things that we started with. You know, finding a place that's remote, finding a place that has fresh water, finding a place that is feasible as far as sustainable living is concerned, and where, you know, the outside world isn't going to mess with you too much, you know, because the outside world really doesn't want us to be free and doesn't want us to live this way. So we need to be distant from that. But you know, there are a lot of PowerPoints on this planet. You know, this entire planet used to be a PowerPoint, you know, before it got mucked up by, you know, Western civilization. So I think you guys in Upper Michigan are just, as far as I know, Upper Michigan is a very, very powerful PowerPoint itself. I have a lot of experience up in northern Wisconsin. I know that that's an incredible PowerPoint, and that meets a lot of the criteria as far as, you know, being remote and being close to nature and those sorts of things. So I think that's what's really important. But, no, there's any number of places here on the planet, and I believe that it's necessary for us as human beings to gather in communities at a variety of places around the planet, in a variety of continents, in a variety of places, whether it be, you know, South America, Africa, Guatemala, the United States, Canada, wherever. I think it's necessary for a lot of these communities to form in a lot of different places. And then, you know, that will be kind of the basis, you know, to build a new world.
So do you, you have, like, information if somebody, I know you got a new CD, a DVD out, right? Power of Ceremony, is that the name of the
one? The Shift, the Power of Ceremony. Yeah, it's not that new. It's about a year old or so, but it's all very fresh material. There's nothing that's dated on there. Unfortunately, TJ, with my latest book and with my last two DVDs, the book was finished about 2 years ago. The DVD was finished about a year and a half ago. But for me, it pretty much is, they're all very complete. You know, when I think about writing a new book, I think, well, you know, I really don't have anything new to say.
Right.
I said everything in the last book. Said everything in the last DVD. Things really haven't changed. We're right on course with all that. So right now I have nothing else to write, and I pretty much have nothing else to say in terms of...
Well, I guess what I'm getting at, Jack, is that if people, you know, they're listening to this and they're going, what is he talking about? Or maybe they're getting upset or worried or whatever, get Jack's DVD, and he'll go into detail on what he's talking about, more in detail than we're going to be able to do in this interview. And, you know, it's going to be up to everybody an individual choice as to whether how they perceive this change.
Can I say something about those who are in fear and those who worry about all this? Because, you know, the whole end of the world thing is something that freaks a lot of people out, and people get that really wrong. It is correct that this is going to be the end of the world as we know it. Yes, this is true. But as far as, you know, the world blowing up or something like that, you know, that is not a part of this whole thing. This is all about transformation. And the people who are in fear about this are basically people who are fearing change, who are fearing transformation, who are, you know, clinging to that old paradigm world that is so hideously out of balance. And for those people who are in fear and for those people who are worried, all I can say is, you know, it's up to them, you know, to be able to make the decision, the free will decision, to be able to resonate with these transformative energies and flow with these transformative energies. And once they learn to do that, they will have nothing to fear.
Right.
Because they will just be flowing with all these new world energies, and they'll be flowing with energies that are in balance as opposed to out of balance. And the clinging to the old paradigm is something that is counterproductive, and that's where a lot of the fear comes from, because they see their world crumbling around them, and that's very scary. But there's an opportunity for each and every one of those people, to move out of that, fear-based way of seeing things, into a non-fear-based way of seeing things. So it's up to us, basically, TJ. It's up to each and every one of us. And everybody has the opportunity to take advantage of this of these transformative energies. It's there for everybody. It's a question of which way people choose to go.
You know, and I look at it this way, too, Jack. What's the worst thing that happens? My spirit goes on.
Well, so the worst thing that could happen is we all die. And, I'm ready. That.
My spirit will go on, and my spirit is probably much more aware than I am right now. So I know we're doing this to help bring forward a greater awareness, all of us that see these things, right?
Uh-huh.
This is what we signed up for, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we all learn once we launch on the spiritual path, TJ. We learn to overcome the fear of death, basically. And once we overcome the fear of death, we become very, very empowered. And when we talk about fear, basically all the fears that can all be subsumed under that one basic fear, which is the fear of dying. And a spiritual warrior overcomes that fear, because a spiritual warrior learns, as you said, that their spirit is eternal, and this life is just a blip on the radar screen. And when we're done in this world, our spirit moves on to the next world and is eternal and that's the way it goes.
And how many times have I done this already? It's like,
well, really, uh-huh.
It's like, okay, I've done this before, so what's the big deal? We have to let go at some point, right?
Absolutely. Once we get our spirituality aligned, once we get appropriately connected with spirit, there really is nothing to fear, including death. Actually, it works quite differently. A spiritual warrior who reaches a point in their life where they're ready to die, where the time is right for their spirit, to move on to the next world, and they accept that and just flow with it. And it's actually a very beautiful thing. So, death is just there is no death. There is simply transmutation into whatever is next.
Let me ask you this now. You have the DVD with the Power of Ceremony. Why is that so powerful?
I could talk about this for a weekend.
You only got 10 minutes, by the way.
Ceremony is one of the most important lessons we can learn from our indigenous relations. Is the incredible importance of ceremony. Because for our indigenous relations, the most important thing in their world was their connection with spirit. And the way that they fostered their connection with spirit was through their ceremonies. And when we talk about their specific lifestyle, the most important thing in their lifestyle was ceremony. It was more important than anything. It was more important than their family. It was more important than their material items. It was more important than anything. Everything in their world, basically was derived from their ceremony, and from their ceremonies. And ceremony is basically anything that we do to connect with spirit with our vibration, to connect with spirit with our intent, to connect with spirit with our actions and with our words and with our prayers. And the reason it's so important is that this is one of our primary tools that we have to practice our spirituality, to develop our spirituality, and to enhance our spirituality. And very importantly, to reprogram ourselves. One of the ways that we hear, and I know I'm not shocking you by saying that we are all born and raised and reared in a world that is insane, basically our Western our Western civilized world. And we learn a lot of crap in the Western civilized world. We have a lot of thoughts and a lot of programming that it's necessary for us to be able to identify as dysfunctional. We need to let go of those thoughts and programs, and then we need to reprogram ourselves with something else. And ceremony, our prayers, our songs, the smoking of our sacred pipes, reaching out to spirit in the way that we do through our ceremonies, is a beautiful and very significant way that we have to reprogram ourselves. Because our prayers and our songs and those sorts of things, that becomes the new program. Mm-hmm. That becomes what we are reprogramming ourselves with. So Ceremony is important for a lot of reasons.
Are we changing vibrations with our drumming, with our dancing? Does that change the vibrations around us?
Yes, very simply. It raises the frequency of our vibration, and it opens our portal, to being able to connect with spirit. And also not only connect with spirit, that sounds kind of airy-fairy to a lot of people, and they don't know what that means. But it opens our portals to connect with spirit, and it also opens our portals to connect with the natural forces in our world, to connect with the elements, to connect with nature, and to connect with the spirit essence of nature. So yes, it opens up all of those things by virtue of raising the frequency of our vibration. Very importantly also, it opens our portals by virtue of one of the things that we do in ceremony is that we take all of our problems that we have, with the outside world, we take them and we leave them outside of the ceremonial circle. They're not invited to participate, So we leave that aside for a while, which right in and of itself, does a tremendous job of raising the frequency of our energy, of our vibration and energy. And the other thing that we do in ceremony is we relax. And, the power of relaxation and just being able to relax and to flow with the forces and to flow with the sunrise or the sunset or the full moon or, whatever it is that we're celebrating in our ceremony, that, too, is a very, very important way that we raise the frequency of our vibration, because after all, we are energy, and the higher the frequency of our vibration of this energy, the better it is.
Let me ask you this, Jack, because I was reading this, and I think this is a really good message that you said. Let's say you live in a town where I'm at here, and I don't live in town, I live out in the country, but you got cement all around you, and there's not a lot of nature. Somebody wants to take a step forward. What is one thing they could do, one of the first things they could do?
Well, and let me answer that question in relationship to how people can begin with ceremony, because very often, when people say, well, what can I do? I say, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to work on your spirituality and develop your spirituality and enhance that. And they say, well, how can I do that? I say, well, you need to begin by doing ceremony. And, well, how can I do that? You have a Mayan elder. You have somebody teaching you these things. I don't have that. I don't know what to do. Well, in talking about it that way, they're making it a little bit too complicated, because ceremony, basically, anybody can begin their own ceremony simply by virtue of, first thing they can do is they can sit down and sit still. They can take their, their third-dimensional real-world problems and they can, leave them outside of the ceremonial circle. They can take a deep breath. They can begin to breathe, while sitting still and relaxing themselves. They can light a candle. And they can sit in front of their candle, and they can breathe, and they can relax. And that really is the beginning. It's the foundation of a ceremonial lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then if they want to take the next leap, and if they want to pray, and pray basically is nothing other than talking to spirit and talking to the forces of nature and the elements and the elementals that we are so immersed in. If they want to take the next step and begin to pray, they can do that in whatever way suits them. They don't have to have a Mayan prayer that they say, or they don't have to have something that's scripted. They can just start to talk to spirit from their heart. Spirit, good morning. Thank you for this incredible sunrise. Thank you for this incredible world. Thank you for this incredible life and these incredible blessings. It begins there, and it just flowers from there. And then to whatever degree, as soon as they are able to find a teacher, find a community where they can learn more about ceremony, all the better, to connect with a community like that and to enhance this whole experience.
I like the idea that somebody, because really it has to come from within. And we have this knowledge within us, don't we, Jack?
Absolutely, absolutely. It simply is a question of reconnecting with information and knowledge that is wired into us. It's wired into our DNA. We've forgotten it thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. We lost our connection with this. And it's just a question of reconnecting with something that's already there. My Mayan elder friend, Tata Eric, refers to it as the original teachings of the ancient Maya, the original instructions, began, tens of thousands of years ago, and were all derived directly from nature and derived directly from their connection with spirit. So that's where they got it from, and we have the capability of reconnecting with that, with that same energy.
What's cool about it is that none of us are helpless. I don't care where you're at, where you live, we all can find them, perhaps, unless you live in a place that's a bus stop, where it's nonstop noise. Maybe you can go find a place that's a little more quiet, and you can get a candle, and you can start with your own breathing and your own thoughts. It's that simple.
I got a candle burning right in front of me right now on the table here, on my table, and I wouldn't do an interview like this without that. It's something that helps to guide me, and it helps to get my energy right. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. This helpless victim disease is one of the most important things that people need to let go of. Whenever anybody comes to me for help, the first thing that we need to strip away is that helpless victim thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they present their problems as something that are just so hopeless and so overwhelming and so, you know, unsolvable. And they really have convinced themselves of that. And, you know, if I was to relate to them on that level, I would believe all that. I would say, "Why? You know, it really is hopeless, isn't it? You got me convinced. You got me scared here." So the first thing we need to strip away is that whole helpless victim.
You know, Jack, and we're just about out of time, and I would love to talk longer, and maybe we can do this again soon. But here's what I notice about you, Jack, since you've left Wisconsin. You had good energy before, but I can feel it emanating out of you, and you are at peace. And what you're telling me is very freeing. And you're not that you were trying to control people before, but you're trying to empower people.
I think before I might have been a little bit more scripted.
Yeah.
In terms of, and I think you and I have been talking for a long time now, TJ.
Right.
We probably did this for the first time maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, we've been doing
and
it.
And back in those days, I was a lot more scripted, a lot less spontaneous. I was a lot less in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all part of my own evolution. I'm not bragging or anything by saying that. You know, I work hard. I work hard at my spiritual.
You are a highly evolved being.
I hope so. And I got a lot more work to do, and I've got a long way to go. Also, but that's true for all of us. You know,
right.
The work never stops.
It never does.
We do reach a point on the path where the work ceases to be work, and it becomes a pleasure, and it becomes, you know, we get to the point where we think, you know, what a blessing it is to be able to serve the creation in this way, you know, through these ceremonies and through this lifestyle.
And wouldn't you also agree, Jack, that, and some of you have nothing going on in your life, and I never experienced, it doesn't happen to you until you start seeking it out.
Yeah, nothing really happens to us. It's all a question of us making things happen, and that's another one of the great misconceptions that people have about the world, and about 2012, too, and about the shift, that all this is something that's going to happen to us. Well, if people believe this is something that's going to happen to us, those are people for whom, you know, either nothing's going to happen or, you know, bad things are going to happen.
You have to take action, and we already described what it is, and then as you seek it out, it shall seek you, is what I've heard over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's all about choice. If you want to learn more about Jack and his books and his DVDs, jackalice.com. He has many interesting things, and now I see a man who not only was talking about it before, but is now living it, truly living it, Jack.
Well, thank you very much for saying that.
Congratulations, and good journey to you, and I hope we talk soon.
And yeah, let's. I'll see if we stay on schedule here. I'll see you in about 6 months, eh?
I'll see you in the portal.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.